88.
Smashing into part of the nation, Obamacare deadlines upon us in some areas, and some push in others. Tony Romo staves off elimination in the NFC least, and the Eagles will have a showdown with the Dallas Cowboys. Could that be our final game of the week? I don't know. It randomly is chosen by our computer. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Boy, if you are traveling, and many of you probably are, some of you are waiting to leave either on Monday or Tuesday on Christmas Eve. Be very, very careful, my friends, because the start of winter, officially the first full day of winter, brought some wild and crazy weather. I was getting texts all morning long from people I know. Let me tell you, ice, massive winds in the Great Lakes in New England, flooding in parts of the South. I mean, temperatures that were unbelievable in both directions. And lots of people without power. That is the worst. So it's Christmas time for a lot of people. They're running around, getting stuff ready, lights, and all that that entails, family coming into town, and some of them don't have power because the snow and the ice knocked it out, especially in Michigan, upstate New York. We have a lot of listeners there. Maybe you're listening to us right now. Northern New England, because your power came back on. And, you know, all over eastern Canada, it was just black, just black. Lots of airlines were canceling flights. They had to, depending on where you were grabbing that flight. And it's that road stuff. When you've got that layer of ice where you really could ice skate down the middle of the road, that's where it's really treacherous when it comes to that morning traffic. And this is a week where some people are just doing one more day, doing two more days, and then they're hitting the road. And, for example, you had all that crazy weather in New York, people listening to us in Buffalo and whatnot, and in Central Park, 70 degrees. In Atlantic City, if you went to the craps table and then walked on the boardwalk, 68 degrees. Washington, D.C., last week we were talking about snow, 72 degrees. And the crazy thing is, by Tuesday, boom, back in the 30s. Back in the 30s. So, unfortunately, just like we witnessed a couple of weeks ago in parts of the Southwest, now in Charleston, South Carolina, for example, they had that glaze of ice, that coating of ice that hits those tree branches, that pushes them down. It makes them look like they were struck by lightning. Somebody I know was in Wisconsin. They sent me a funny picture. They were just creamed with snow. So a lot of things were canceled on Sunday into Monday. In Milwaukee, one of my favorite places to go to when you jump into Chicago, take the train to Milwaukee, 9 inches. 9 inches of snow. And the sad part about all this is that there were people who were killed because of this weather, mishaps in the weather and whatnot. For example, in Kentucky, they were dealing with floods, and they pulled three bodies from a Rolling Fork River where their car was just swept away by the flood. Then there was somebody else who drowned. They were in a four-wheeler that overturned. They thought they were okay, but it was high water. And 8 people in all around the country so far at this point, with the storms and the accumulations of either ice or floodwaters or even snow in some cases. But it's really those power lines. It's really those power lines and the tree limbs, because I just went through it a couple of weeks ago, that are so crazy. And then the overpasses that just become so thick with that ice. So some people, I think, who are waiting to drive somewhere for the holidays might get backed up a little bit, depending on what happens with the weather in in your area, because it varies from Vermont to Maine and from Milwaukee to parts of Illinois like Chicago. I mean, just a couple of different degrees here and there, and you're looking at a completely different picture, completely different. Coming up in this Hour of America tonight for our weekly re-rack, we're going to introduce you to an awesome young woman who went through a horrific experience in her life in her early years, going through satanic rituals and whatnot, being abused and victimized in ways you cannot even imagine, and how she came out on the other end and how she tries to help people who find themselves in unbelievable situations. Also, we'll talk about the quack quack controversy across the U.S. You know what that is? That's the Duck Dynasty thing. And what is A&E going to do about that show? More people are signing petitions in both directions. Normally, who cares about a reality television show? But this is a popular reality TV show. And here's the thing. It brings up the whole freedom of speech thing. And I said this last week. You have freedom of speech, but when you work for network, which it's A&E, right? If they want to pull the plug, they can pull the plug. I guarantee in their agreement they had some sort of a morals clause. And if they decide to invoke that morals clause, then they can do that. They can decide, you know, enough is enough. And it's just one of the players, and you know the story by now, is Phil Robertson, who's really the patriarch of that family. He is the Duck commander, and he is the leader, and he was suspended. So how far does this go? They're going to make like $400 million. I mean, seriously, $400 million in merchandise, not in salary. And already some people are pulling out. Cracker Barrel, for example, they're deciding that they're going to pull out. They pulled them, but now supposedly in some areas they're back in stock. A&E saying that he was suspended indefinitely from the show, but they didn't really clear up what that meant, because in January they talked about a fifth season is going to debut in January, so they've already shot some of those episodes. And the fourth season's premiere had 12 million viewers. Number one nonfiction series reality show in cable history. And what do the networks care about, any of them? And what do the cable stations care about? They care about the money. They care about the money they're making. So would they really say bye-bye to Duck Dynasty? Would the others walk? It's crazy. It's the end of the year controversy for sure when it comes to entertainment. Anyway, and of course, speaking of controversy, you can always weigh in on the NSA, because Israel decided they were going to rip the United States. Now everybody gets in line. It's like we're at a carnival and they're throwing balls to dunk the NSA. So this time it's Israel. They're ripping us, the United States, over NSA spying revelations. What's next? Stick around and find out here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. spaces. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
What spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with song. Let me sing forevermore. You love all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Happy holidays, everybody. Hopefully you're headed somewhere to celebrate with family, friends, someone special, or just to get away. Sometimes people just like to take the man cave on the road, and bravo for you if you're doing that. In Israel, of course, they're delivering a Christmas present of words of sorts. And this is what happened. On Sunday, the most senior Israeli official types demanded that the U.S. stop spying on Israel. Stop spying on us. Keep giving us money and supporting us. Stop spying on us. Because, of course, what's the latest revelations? That the National Security Agency is, yes, in fact, intercepting emails from the offices of some of the former leaders of Israel. But it's the first time that anybody in Israel ever, in the case of the NSA stuff, expressed any kind of anger about some of the details on the spying that started to trickle out in these documents that are being leaked. It's like a slow leak. There's no plugging the leak up, because it's going to keep leaking. And that's Ed Snowden's stuff. So it's kind of spurred on the release of Jonathan Pollard, who's the former intelligence analyst who's been imprisoned in the U.S. for 3 decades for spying on behalf of Israel. So the intelligence minister said this is not legitimate. He called for both countries to enter an agreement regarding espionage. Think we'll sign that agreement? He says it's embarrassing. I mean, even the tourism minister said this is embarrassing between these countries. We're allies. This is ridiculous. This is the moment, they say, more than any other, that you need to give us Jonathan Pollard back. Yeah, right. The American who was spying for Israel on us. I don't think so. So all these documents keep coming out. It's in the New York Times and Der Spiegel, the German newspaper, and The Guardian, the British newspaper. And some of the specifics show that what came from the NSA intercepting from 2008 to 2011, email addresses belonging to the Prime Minister then, Olmert, and the Defense Minister, Barak. So both of them were having their emails picked off. And not for nothing, but do they not realize that of course everybody is spying on everybody else? Are you kidding me? There's something about it being in your face, though, and reading about it in the New York Times and The Guardian and everywhere else that it comes out, that Israel doesn't like, Brazil doesn't like, Germany doesn't like, ally or not. So Olmert played down the whole thing. He said the email address targeted was one that was just about queries anyway for the public. It wasn't sensitive communications. And he says there wasn't a chance of any kind of an intelligence breach or any of that. And it still infuriated enough people at the top that they were going to try to use it for political gain and trying to get Pollard back. But that's not going to happen. I mean, look, Israel invented part of this game. Are you kidding? The Mossad? Like, they don't understand secure lines and some of the communications, even if we could crack into it. And, I mean, this really is. I went back and looked and tried to see if I could come up with any other time where they were so inflamed and enraged. And this was it. I mean, it's a sensitive subject anyway because of the whole Pollard thing. And since that's been a while, you kind of forget about it. But this was a big deal. He was sentenced to life in prison in the late 80s for passing classified stuff to Israeli leaders. And they constantly are calling for him to be released. So it's been decades now. They said he's done enough time in prison. But no way is the United States going to let him go. No American presidents have wanted to release him. And since that happened, because we caught Israel, they have promised not to spy on the U.S. And once again, Israel said, we do not spy on the U.S. president or defense secretary. We should expect the same. Now, the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, had kind of a non-pulse reaction. He's nonplussed about the whole thing. He said this is not conditional and not connected to the latest things, even though we gave our opinion about these developments. And he kind of just blew off the U.S. spying deal. Probably because he has so much disdain for Barack Obama right now that he just doesn't care. Not that he doesn't care about the spying, but that it's nothing new if he thinks that is happening. So now we have a presidential advisory panel that's recommended dozens of changes to the surveillance programs, including stripping the NSA of the ability to store telephone records and requiring a court to sign off on individual searches of phone and internet dials and all that kind of stuff, any of that chats, any of that data, which makes sense to me. I think that's fair. So you get the documentation, but then what they'll say at the NSA is no, because we need that information. We got to get it right away. If we're talking about something that's happening overseas with somebody that's in the United States, then we don't have time to huddle. We need that information ASAP, brother. So we can't wait. We have no time to wait. So I don't know. Do you think this just gives Israel another chip in the game? I say that they're not going to release Pollard anyway. It makes for the conversation about it, but it's not going to happen. And it's just more of putting up the shields and saying, yeah, okay, and more humiliation for the NSA because they don't like the fact that they constantly are dealing with Ed Snowden leaking and leaking and leaking and leaking. Because it's embarrassing. Because he's throwing everything out there so there's no place to hide. It's not, oh, we assume, we think. It's, no. It's, we have you. In fact, when we do our top stories, coming up later in the week, when we do our top stories of this past year, without a doubt, and I've already said this, Ed Snowden is one of the top five stories. And Susan Rice says Ed Snowden doesn't deserve amnesty. The National Security Advisor, bet you forgot that. She said, she would not give him any amnesty, even if he stopped revealing the secrets. It's funny because I'll meet people who say, well, don't you think this whistleblower, he's the best. Because look at all the things that have happened. The NSA has even had to reverse policies. There is no way he is getting a break to come back to the United States. Even promising to stop revealing the classified info. And she echoed it. We don't think Snowden deserves amnesty. We believe he should come back. He should be sent back. He should have his day in court. And he still has 1.5 million classified documents he has not shared. What do you think are in those documents? Somebody's got to know, right? Do they even really know what are in all those documents? I'm not so sure. That's part of the problem. So is Susan Rice right? Snowden, who's in Russia under temporary asylum, one of the big stories since June of 2013, still has lots of classified info he can link. Should he be given a pass to come back to the United States? Didn't he let you know and me know that our personal phone calls and emails were being collected and stored in a big vat at the NSA in their fight against terrorism? Isn't it worthy of a negotiation or no? What do you think? Shoot me an email. We're always open to it. AmericaTonight.net or 855-266-5283. Keep that handy for later this hour. Coming up next, we're going to introduce you to Teal Scott. Stay with us.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze-Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95 and makes a great Christmas gift. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
A story that is going to grab you by the gut. I'm telling you, you have got to get to know our next guest. Her name is Teal Scott. She's, of course, known as the Spiritual Catalyst, and she's a speaker, she's a teacher, she's an author, she's got a huge following. And what I like about Teal Scott's teaching is that she really emphasizes what is the virtue of unconditional love, respect, and all that that entails. And she overcame what, if you, when you hear her story, would be unbearable for so many people, just a horrific childhood. Teal, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So the first thing we want to talk about is from age 6 to 19, I'll let you tell the story. Tell the audience some of the things, sadly, that happened to you.
Well, when I was 6 years old, I was inducted into a cult in a very rural town where I grew up in. And I was systematically tortured for the period of 13 years. Mm. I was forced to participate in prostitution and sadomasochistic pornography. I was forced to participate in ritual sacrifices, and I was raped repetitively. I was impregnated 3 times, and I was kept in basements and in pits that were dug outside of the house. of the perpetrator who had me when I was a child. And the list just goes on and on from there.
So you're such a young child. In that situation, I can only imagine what your mind is thinking, and there was no escape. I mean, right, you know, who do you turn to? Love me, help me. Did you try that and get frustrated because you were drugged or other things happened?
What it is that as a child, you don't really question adults because why? I mean, it's kind of like when an adult tells you a story, why would they be wrong? It's kind of what you're thinking when you're young. So you accept all of the lies that they tell you about why they're doing the things that they're doing, and you just go along with it. And it becomes this sort of torture where you're living a double life and you can't tell anybody. And so what you start to see, which was definitely the case with me, is this sort of breakthrough behavior where you start to see mirroring effects of the abuse that a child is going through their play behavior with other children, through the art that they're doing. But nobody really guessed correctly when it came to my childhood. Now there's a lot more awareness about abuse, and so when children are exhibiting these kinds of behaviors, more bells and whistles go off. But back then, people just kind of didn't know what was going on with me.
Yeah, boy. And I said this, that, you know, you obviously, I love your message. You're trying to empower people. You're spreading love and all of that. Do you know, we just lost Nelson Mandela, and the amazing thing about him is after being tortured in his own way and the 27 years in prison and all of that, is that he was able to find forgiveness when he came out of that, out of the situation. And you know his story, the first black South African president, and trying to reconcile and getting rid of apartheid and whatnot, a horrible era in South African history. For you, did you feel that, in other words, to heal yourself, as you now are empowering so many people, did you have to find forgiveness or a space in your heart somewhere to be able to get over that hurdle?
Yeah, I definitely did, but I teach a lot about the fact that forgiveness can't be forced, which is what most of us try to do, because we know that forgiveness is ultimately where we're headed, but we can't get there prematurely. If you're not ready to forgive somebody, it's never going to happen. So really, forgiveness for me came as a result of starting to see the positive things that had come out of the experience. And I know most people will sort of be taken aback by that statement. It's a fairly extreme statement that somebody could say coming out of severe ritual trauma that anything good can come out of something like that, but it's the truth. When I look back at my life, I can see how I wouldn't be doing the things that I'm doing today, and I definitely wouldn't be the person that I am today, and I wouldn't have half of the talents I have, ironically, if I hadn't gone through that. So when we're looking at our life in terms of finding approval for the things which caused us the most pain, that's when we find forgiveness, and it was definitely an integral part of my healing, for sure, and my business today.
Yeah. Do you think there's still a lot that people don't understand about cults and the damages and what actually happens behind some hidden agenda somewhere, and maybe some out in the open or in a hidden space? I think that this is something where it'll be talked about, but then it kind of goes away. Is that one of the things that you would also like to push, to not have these things happen, obviously, to other people?
I definitely feel that way. In fact, my major frustration is the fact that people in general want to preserve their idea of what reality is. And that's the issue that we're confronted with when we're interacting with people who were victims, is that the perpetrators really don't expect anything of you. If you side with them, you don't have to change your idea of reality. But to side with a victim means to look at the world in a different way, where things like this are possible. And most people are not brave enough to look at the world with that kind of view. They'd rather preserve the illusion that everything's perfectly fine and that people that escape from these situations are just delusional. But the reality is that veil is what these cult groups hide under. And so I feel like pulling the lid off of that and exposing them all is really what it's going to take to unearth it in order to heal it on a mass consciousness level. So I'm really dedicated to that. It's one of the main reasons which I decided to come out of the closet with all of this for, is because I meet them all day long, women who go through similar things, even in cult groups, especially in the Western United States where I live. And their message to me is always, I'm so glad you're doing this because I'm not brave enough to do this. And it's really upsetting to me that these groups have succeeded in scaring these women to such a degree where we spend our lives even after escape hiding. And by virtue of doing that, we are, in essence, condemning other girls to being taken, other girls to being, and boys, to being a part of this sort of underbelly, which is existing beyond the scope of what most people can see. It's super crucial that we unearth these things, I think.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that you do. You push to do that. You've got 5 million views on your YouTube channels. You've averaged like almost 500,000 views a month, so that's good. And when you when you're out there and you're attracting people to your videos, do you talk about some of this in the middle of it to try to? Because I know you're inspiring people and you're focusing on finding the bliss and difficult challenges and all of that. But do you also try, as we just talked about, to get people aware, women, boys, whoever, that you don't have to live in this situation? And if there's more awareness, maybe some of these cults and some of the horrific things that are happening could be shut down faster.
I haven't really focused on it maybe like I should. I've been sort of waiting for the opportunity and just knowing that my story is going to inspire people towards living the kind of life that they're going to live. But in the future, that's one thing I definitely want to do. And I sure want to go out in the public, and I want to hold seminars and hold talks about this kind of subject. So that's something that we're looking forward to in the progression of my career, for sure.
Yeah. Who's the most dangerous group? Is it the children, the most vulnerable?
Oh, yeah, by far. And what most people don't know is it's the minority children and the children that are in foster care, which are the two most vulnerable. In fact, the cult groups will case neighborhoods and case whole cities for the children that are being lost in the foster care system. What I mean is that there are people who abuse the system, and what they do is they sign up to be foster parents of multiple children, but they don't have any intention of taking care of those children. They just want to collect the monthly check that they get from the government for fostering. And so what they do is they tell those children not to come home till a certain time at night. And so in between school hours and when they should be home, they're doing nothing, wandering around on the streets trying to find food. These cult groups will target them and take them, knowing that if the kid disappears, it's marked as a runaway, but the state still pays the foster family.
That's awful.
It is awful. Oh, and it gets worse. So the other targeted group which they reach are the illegal immigrants, especially the people from Mexico, because they know that what happens if they case those neighborhoods and they find illegal immigrant children is that they can't tell the state. So if we have a child, let's say I'm from Mexico and I just emigrated here, I'm an illegal immigrant. I can't go to the state and tell them that my child is missing, because if I do that, they're going to ask for my information. They're going to deport me. So I have an option as a parent. Either I get shipped back to another country where my kid isn't even there with me, or I stay in the country they got lost in and look for them myself. And that's what most of them opt to do, so nobody's ever going to turn them in.
Wow, that is just awful. If anybody listening to this now, our conversation, if there's one thing that they could do to help you change some of the horrific things that we've been talking about, what could they do?
I think the best thing to do would be to be brave enough to really keep your eyes open. The most jarring experience I had relative to other people when I was younger and other people being bystanders was when I was 11 years old. I was in this man's car, and he, being a sociopath, really liked the idea of getting more and more dangerous with his public exposure of me. And I was hobbled, which are like ties. I was hogtied, so my ankles and my wrists were tied together, and he had me in this car. And he actually pulled me out in plain view and put me behind the car in this parking lot. And this group of three women walked by and looked at me, tied up like that, and looked at him. And not one of them stopped. It was like in that moment they were like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? No, I can't possibly be seeing that. And they continued. And there's stories like this all the time where people see things like that, but they sort of would rather preserve their reality and they'd rather not ask questions. And I think the plea on my side, having gone through something like that, is if you see something that concerns you, it is 100 times more important to say something. Maybe you're mistaken, but it would be better to be mistaken than to see something and not say something about it that was an actual torture situation or a situation where you're seeing somebody who is, you know, belonging to a cult group or belonging to one of these people who takes children, basically, and to not say anything, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Teal Scott, check her out at thespiritualcatalyst.com. What an enlightening conversation. Thanks, Teal. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Tonight with Signatures and Deadlines. Deadlines include this one, although the deadline is kind of a movable deadline, as is everything with Obamacare, it seems. But the first one for people who have insurance kicking in January 1st is Monday. Because of the tuning up and all that stuff that had to happen to healthcare.gov, some people are having that pushed a little bit. It just depends, because the rollout, we all know, was a disaster for the federal website. And some of the state-run exchanges had problems, too. Crashes, people couldn't get in, incorrect information, all that kind of stuff. So there was a mad scramble. The original plan was really easy. You have until December 23rd. You enroll online or some other way and pay in full, and then you have insurance on New Year's Day. It kicks in. If you didn't have insurance, if you did, you had to change policies, whatever, it would kick in at that point. And really it was for people, mostly people who hadn't had insurance. That was the idea. So if you don't have it, you go to the site, you do it before the 23rd. On the 23rd, you're covered. As for other people, if they got caught in the trap depending on where they lived, of not being able to get through. Some of them have deadlines that have been pushed to the end of December. 1 million people. 1 million people through the third week in December have enrolled in Obamacare. So a bigger increase than the 365,000 who enrolled through the end of November. But not enough to get to that 7 million mark they thought they were going to have at this point. Supposedly 7 million. So still far short of what they had hoped for once the rollout happened. And there's still some problems. The numbers, how many have enrolled and paid for their policies. Supposedly that's not clear. That could be a problem, wouldn't it be? Because, you know, there's that whole cancellation thing with insurance. And if somebody gets sick and then they think they have insurance, but then they don't have insurance and there's some kind of a snafu there, that could get very, very ugly. People who thought it but didn't have it, that kind of stuff. So obviously the goal is to not have that happen. The deadline to enroll without getting a tax penalty is March 31st. So they push that deadline. That's a hard deadline. If you enroll for health care before the 31st and you don't have to pay that penalty if the IRS finds you, which they hired 5,000 new people to focus on that, so you would assume they're going to go through and find all those people who don't have it. I mean, in fact, that's an interesting thing. How are they tracking it, I wonder? I put in a few phone calls asking about that, didn't really seem to get any great answers on it. So how do they find you? How do they know if you have health insurance or not, especially if you are self-employed? Even if you work for a company, how do they know that? How do they turn those roles in? There has to be a way. I would assume that there's a way to track this, but what is the way that they're doing it? We're going to have somebody on coming up in the new year to talk about all that kind of stuff. Because, hey, they didn't have anybody tracking who should get what policy, so I'm kind of assuming they might not have a good tracking system for that either. Roughly 20% is the estimated number of Americans who didn't have insurance coverage before. So the idea is, wow, now isn't this great? You can all get the coverage. So I wonder how many in that number will actually get it. And if you are getting insurance and you figure, I'm not paying any fine and I have to get it, I have kids, or whatever the scenario is, it varies from exchange to exchange. But you can bet the exchange over Obamacare is far from done. In fact, I was looking at a really scary number. Did you know that on the Hill there were 5,660 bills? 660 bills. Many of them we talked about because we talked to Washington, you know, each and every show in the beginning of the week. So only 50% were passed by Congress and signed into law. Congress introduced 684 health care bills, more than on any other issue. Six became law, including the Drug Quality and Security Act, that increased the FDA's power to regulate compounding drugs. You know, when places compounded drugs because there was problems with that. So that's a fine law. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the amount of bills that came up, how many were passed, and if anything, this has to be one of the least productive Congresses that we've had in history. So they're all going home for the holidays, hanging out for a while, and the tally is 5,660 bills, 56 passed. Just one of 90 housing bills became law. You know what that was? And we had people on to talk about it. The Reverse Mortgage Stabilization Act, which made it tougher eligibility-wise for loans, and it shrank the amount of money that seniors could take out of their homes at one time because they were worried about that. 23 crime bills were introduced. Four were signed into law. So that issue obviously did not have a high success rate. Anyway, that's just one way to look at it. It's courtesy of my pals at Bloomberg that sent that over. They crunched all the numbers. I knew the bill number, but they knew they broke down some of the other numbers. Crazy. That's wild. So we move from deadlines to signatures. And I brought this up at the top of the show. Duck Dynasty. I always say America Tonight is about the buzz in the backyard. And whether you've watched the show or not, I guarantee you have heard it. Guarantee that you know what Duck Dynasty is about, and you know what the controversy is about. And everywhere you turn, this is what's being talked about. It's funny because some of the end-of-the-year magazines have Duck Dynasty on the covers or in the middle of the magazine as one of the biggest entertainment successes, but that story hadn't broken yet. Since last week, A&E decided to indefinitely suspend Phil Robertson. He's one of the big stars of this show. They have not said what will happen in the future. The show is supposed to start again for its fifth season in January. He was benched because of what he said to GQ magazine. He called homosexuality a sin. He cited the Bible in that. So what's interesting is a change.org petition demands that Robertson be reinstated and the network issue an apology. They've got over 100,000 signatures. There's another petition. There's a website called istandwithphil.com, and they have well over 150,000 signatures at this point. There are others in the LGBT community who are pressing against this, but they don't have anything like those numbers on petitions. It just doesn't compare with the millions of people drawn to this show. When you have almost 12 million people watching in August, that's a phenomenon. And the season finale, almost 9 million people. So I guarantee those network executives, wouldn't I love to be a fly on the wall, are sitting here discussing what to do. Because I bet the family would bail. If he's not back in the fold, the family will bail on this. So they don't move on without the patriarch. So what happens to the future of Duck Dynasty? And what are you replacing that with? They have their own unique brand. I think it'd be pretty tough to replace them. And it brought up the whole conversation about freedom of speech. But the problem is it really lies within what the network thinks they want to do. It's really up to A&E. I just can't think that A&E would want to end this series. But is it too hard for them to go out on that limb and say, let's just keep moving on with this? And I don't think Robertson, I don't see him as somebody who's not going to speak his mind. I don't think he's going to roll himself back. I don't see that. Stay tuned. That's one of the things you'll find out in 2014, I'm certain.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.